Good afternoon to all. It is Thursday afternoon. This is Bill Allen coming to you from downtown Tyler, Texas. It's been a beautiful week. We've actually gotten a little bit of cooler weather, a little bit of rain, and that's always nice when you're in Texas and it's in September, even at the end. I hope that you're having a good week and are feeling the Lord's blessing. I do want to tell you that this next week, I will be at the Harding Lectures, and so I'm looking forward to being in Arkansas at the wonderful Harding University, beautiful, beautiful campus. And over the last few years when I've been able to go, it's been a wonderful, wonderful week of great Bible lessons and lectures and singing and all of the above. So we will not have our Facebook classes next week, but I can tell you that it's some exciting stuff because you're reading about the rebuilding and return of the Israelites, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today. You'll get to read about some exciting prophecies and writings of Scripture, especially from Zechariah and some others. And we're also going to be starting up a little bit later on the end of the Old Testament with Malachi. We certainly will be able to, some of the most exciting reading, I think, and most helpful in Ethelgard Smith's The Daily Bible is his couple of days or so on the time between the Testaments, the 400 silent years, as they're called, between Old Testament and New Testament. He's got a couple of, two or three great chapters on that. That's coming up in the next couple of weeks. And also, of course, the start of the New Testament. Finally, we get there in the middle of October or so. And in the meantime, when we do come back a week from this coming Tuesday, I get to share the story of Esther with you. And that's a wonderful, one of my favorite Bible stories. I do say that a lot, sorry, but it is. The story of Esther is a great story of heroic and courageous faith, woman who put her life on the line for the sake of her people and her God. It's a great, great story, especially in light of a lot of the things that are going on in today's world ever since almost a year ago on the horribly tragic and violent day, October 7th of 2023. So at any rate, I'm looking forward to today's lesson as we get that started, moving from the time of the exile and the 70 years or so that the Israelites were in captivity to the time of their return. And this is a great, great moment in Israelite history. A little bit of a review to kind of set the stage. Remember your Bible history when the northern kingdom of Israel broke away from the line of David and were no longer faithful to the descendants of David that were on the throne in Jerusalem in Solomon's, worshiping in Solomon's wonderful temple. They moved to the north, 10 of the 12 tribes did, made their own kingdom, made their own king, made their own capital, made their own priesthood, everything, made their own idols, horrible, horrible. And ultimately, that northern kingdom of Israel was never faithful. They were constantly being maligned by prophets that God sent, warned time and time again, until finally, in the 8th century BC, the 700s, God sent the Assyrians to take them into exile, which they did, very cruel, ruthless people. And though they challenged the southern kingdom of Israel, of Judah rather, because of the righteous king Hezekiah and the urging and preaching of the prophet Isaiah and certainly perhaps others, God was able to bring them through in the southern kingdom, and Jerusalem was spared, but only for a while. Decades later, the Babylonians would be the world empire. The kings of Judah would no longer be faithful to the God of Israel, Josiah being the last of the good kings. And in spite of all of his reforms, the kings that came after him, which included three of his sons and one grandson, were unfaithful. And the people of Judah were carried off into Babylonian exile, and the temple that Solomon built destroyed. The walls torn down, the city leveled. There were three distinct deportations that the Babylonians used to take the Israelites in Judah into captivity. In 605 or so BC, the best of the best were taken, including Daniel, who we heard about some more this past Tuesday, and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Later on, there were 10,000 or so of the people in Jerusalem taken in what is called the Great Deportation. And then finally, in 586 BC, by the way, Ezekiel was in that second group. And finally, in 586 BC, the walls were torn down, the temple was destroyed, and the final citizens that could be carried off into exile were, and the rest were left there. Jeremiah had been preaching for decades that this was going to happen, and yet his preaching fell upon mostly deaf ears. And Jeremiah was taken against his will to Egypt by some of those who were still in Jerusalem at the time. And so then you have those 70 years in exile, and we've been reading about those, some of the Psalms of exile, some of the most tragic things, the very sorrowful book of Lamentations that Jeremiah penned as all of that was going on. And yet the promises of God still remain. Daniel and Ezekiel preached to the exiles and spoke their prophecies and were good examples of faith. And that gets us to the time of King Cyrus. The Assyrians give way to the Babylonians. The Babylonians give way to the Medes and the Persians. And the first king is Cyrus, the king of Persia. And he has a different take on how things should go. In the time of the Assyrians and the Babylonians, their kings felt like the thing to do when you were victorious over another enemy kingdom is you killed off a lot of their people, you carried off their people into exile somewhere else so that they would not have that patriotic tie to the land where they were living, and then you forced them basically to serve you and your king. Well, Cyrus had a different idea. His idea was, if we let these people go back to their homeland, give them the opportunity to rebuild a bit, they will serve us and they will appreciate that. And so this is what happens in the year that Cyrus becomes king. This is what Cyrus does as recorded in Ezra, the first chapter. This is around 540 BC or so. Ezra chapter 1. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord moved the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make a proclamation throughout his realm and also to put it in writing. This is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says: "The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Any of his people among you may go up to Jerusalem in Judah and build the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who is in Jerusalem, and may their God be with them." It's a great act on Cyrus's part to allow them to go back. And of course, these are just words, but at least the words sound right. Cyrus is saying it is the Lord God of heaven that has given him this call. And he calls on the Jews that were in Babylon living in exile. The ones that wanted to could go back. Now, remember, they'd been there for a long time, decades, in fact. And so many of them had a life there. Many of them had done exactly what Jeremiah told them to do in the letter he wrote to them. Hey, get comfortable. You're going to be there a long time. Take a wife, take a husband, buy some land, plant a garden, put your roots down because it's going to be a while. But God will ultimately revisit us and will deliver his people. And so many of them do go back. And that's where we get primarily to the book of Ezra, but also to some of the other books at this time. Ezra is kind of interesting. Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther are all during this time, but they come even before the Psalms and Proverbs and all of those, even the book of Job. They come right after the historical books, First and Second Samuel, First and Second Kings, and First and Second Chronicles. So you see the method to that. This is a continuation of what happens after the exile, but the books of Daniel and Ezekiel, especially, both of those are written by the prophets while they're in exile. And we read about those events there as well. Here, through the leadership of men like Zerubbabel, who has royal blood, as we're going to see, and Ezra, who is a priest, a descendant of Aaron, the brother of Moses, and the preaching of great prophets such as Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, the Israelites return, the ones that wanted to, and they go back to their homeland and they rebuild the temple. And under Nehemiah's leadership, they rebuild the walls. And under Ezra's leadership, they begin to rebuild the worship and the life of living according to the law. It is a great, great time of renewal and encouragement. And as I said, Zerubbabel, who is a descendant of King David, of royal descent, in 536 BC, begins the work to rebuild the temple. And it's really interesting the way this progresses. They began to rebuild some of the artifacts that need to go in there. And then we read this in Ezra chapter 3, starting in verse 10. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments and with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, took their places to praise the Lord as prescribed by David, king of Israel. With praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord, "He is good. His love towards Israel endures forever." And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Now notice this in Ezra chapter 3, verse 12. But many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple, Solomon's grand temple, wept aloud when they saw the foundation of the temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. No one could distinguish the sound of the shouts of joy from the sound of weeping, because the people made so much noise, and the sound was heard far away. Do you see this picture? Here are all these Jews who have been in exile all these years. Some of their ancestors had gone over there during the time of the Babylonians and had experienced such great atrocities. Some of them had as well. And now they were all going back to Jerusalem. And as they did, Zerubbabel, again, of royal blood, who kind of is a de facto governor or king there, leads them in beginning to rebuild the temple. And as the foundation is laid, there are shouts of joy and praise and songs and everything from all of the people. But the older ones remember. They remember. They remember Solomon's grand temple. They remember that beautiful edifice, that beautiful building, and that beautiful temple that was robbed of all of its treasures and ultimately burned to the ground. And they are making noise too, but it's the sound of weeping and cries that are coming forth from them. Others, cries of joy. And as we're going to see in just a moment, even some of the Psalms speak to this moment of the return from Babylonian exile. It is a great blessing to see God fulfilling his promise, and the Jews who returned felt very blessed to be able to be back in their homeland. And in spite of the trouble that others were causing, they were able to successfully rebuild that temple. In chapter 6, beginning at verse 14, so the elders of the Jews continued to build and prosper under the preaching of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah, a descendant of Iddo. They finished building the temple according to the command of the God of Israel and the decrees of Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, kings of Persia. The temple was completed on the third day of the month Adar in the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. Then the people of Israel, Ezra 6, verse 16, the priests, the Levites, and the rest of the exiles celebrated the dedication of the house of God with great joy. And that's what they did. There was a lot of difficulty. The people that were surrounding them, their neighbors, they didn't like them any more when they returned than when they had lived there before. And so they tried to stir up trouble. But through Haggai and Zechariah, the temple was ultimately completed in 516 BC. In fact, for several years, the work had stopped because of those around them who were trying to spoil their efforts. 70 years after Solomon's temple destroyed in 586 BC, the temple is finished in 516 BC. It's amazing. That's exactly the timetable that Jeremiah said. You can also gauge it from the time of the first deportation when the Jews began leaving in 605 BC, and then 70 years later, they are able to come home. It's a great moment. It's a great time. It's a wonderful experience that the people of God, We sing the song Standing on the Promises, and God will keep his promises. And he did for the Jews in spite of their sins, even in spite of the punishment he laid on them, very heavy punishment, sending them away into exile by the cruel pagan Babylonians. Still, God's promise went with them, and the promises he had made to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and to King David, his promises went with them, and then he brought them home. And now here they are in their homeland once again, and they are rebuilding. Now the temple, when Nehemiah comes years later, it will be the walls around the city of Jerusalem. And as we're going to see later, Ezra the priest leads them in restoring some of the worship. A little bit about this wonderful time by reading one of those psalms of joy during this time, and you'll be able to see, as I've said many times before, if you want to know what the context of a psalm is, the best way to do it is to read the psalm and get a picture of what you're reading and compare it with what has happened in Israelite history. The headings are very helpful. They're not inspired scripture, but they are likely accurate, and so they help as well. But in Psalm 126 is one of those psalms of ascents that the Jews would sing as they traveled to from there, wherever they lived, made their pilgrimages up to Jerusalem, to Mount Zion, as they called it. And in Psalm 126 are these great celebratory words that indicate this is a psalm that was especially written and sung during this time of return from Babylonian exile. Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy." Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. As we remember and think back over those readings that we had earlier, the Psalms when the Babylonian exile took place, the Psalms of the Israelites saying, "In Babylon, our captors ask us to sing one of those happy, peppy songs of Zion, and we just couldn't do it. How could we? How could we in a foreign land in exile?" Now, this is exactly the opposite. Now they're being restored back to their homeland, and they're able to see once again God's hand present, acting, working for them and with them. It's a great, great moment of return. These psalms of thanksgiving and psalms of restoration are going to be read a little bit later this month, but I'm getting a fudging a little bit, going a little bit ahead. And I will tell you that when we do come back, remember, I won't be here next week. We won't have this class on Tuesday and Thursday next week. But we will come back a week from this coming Tuesday. And that will be one of my favorite lessons of all in Bible stories. And that is the beautiful, wonderful story of faithful Queen Esther. Joyce and I were able to see that show, that presentation, a year or two ago, and it was magnificent, magnificent. And the story is incredible. It's an incredible story of victory, but it's one you haven't read yet. If you're on target, if you're reading ahead, good for you. And if you haven't, remember, read today's reading first. You get to read about this wonderful return from exile, and then you can catch up if you want to. But remember, we're going to be hitting the New Testament pretty soon, and that'll be exciting for sure. So continue reading through these stories of returning and rebuilding to Jerusalem, story of Ezra the priest, of Nehemiah and the walls, of the preaching and teaching of Haggai and Zechariah to urge them on to finish the task, and these wonderful psalms of joy celebrating that return. And I look forward to seeing you again a week from this coming Tuesday. May God bless you always.